Forward momentum.
All right then, Leon. How do you explain it? What were those two?
Short answer, humans in some kind of armor. Where they came from now, that's an open question.
Interesting. Why are you so convinced they weren't boomers?
So you agree with me?
Not saying for now. Answer my question.
The salute. You ever see a sarcastic boomer before?
Ah, of course.
Your turn.
They moved like humans. Boomers, full-body cyborgs even. They don't have hip joints to break. They move more fluidly. The green one was quick, smooth. Probably a dancer or a martial artist.
And the white one?
Tough to say. Her suit was more technically advanced. Probably a command unit.
Her?
Oh, don't tell me you didn't notice that.
Anyway, maybe we should stick Nene on the matter.
Maybe. First thing tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Nene just got off shift. She bolted as soon as she could. Something about checking on a friend in Shibuya.
Hey.
What?
Ever notice Nene has a friend living near every boomer incident the last couple of months?
It does seem strange now that you mention it.
Forward Momentum presents Bubblegum Crisis. Mega Tokyo 2046. The story of the Night Sabers. Early hours of July 9th, 2046. Night Sabers home base, Mega Tokyo.
Mackie and I were finishing final adjustments and sizing the interior of my hard suit when the security door to the base's loading dock opened and 5 feet of angry redhead stormed in.
What the fuck is wrong with you people? You can't pick up a phone? I've been worried sick!
Mackie froze like a deer in headlights. For a second, I thought he was gonna bolt.
Nene, you know the rules. We can't call you from here while you're at work. It's a security risk.
Bullshit! I don't know if Celia and Lena are all right. I don't know if they got away clean. I don't know if Henderson crashed the truck. I don't know if this lady murdered you when your back was turned.
She met my shocked eyes.
No offense.
None taken. Please, vent away. And so she did. It continued for some time. She questioned his consideration for her, his ability to think, his parentage, complained of the obliviousness of men in general. And then at the 3-minute mark, she began pounding on his chest. A minute or so later, she'd finally run down and began crying, with her face buried in his shoulder. Mackie just stood there the entire time, eyes wide. When the tears came, surprise and shock became downright fear. He gently patted her shoulders, as if the girl had become a live landmine. I took pity on the kid. Celia is fine. Lena injured her hand, but not badly. They met up with Henderson 15 minutes ago, and they're on their way back here now. The girl got herself under control and took a big step away from Mackie, who obviously felt just as awkward about the thing as she did. And for the record, I wouldn't shoot Mackie. Good mechanics are hard to find. Nene's response was cut off by a warning tone and the opening of the loading dock roll-up door. The truck pulled in, and I spotted Celia at the wheel. She executed a neat 3-point turn and backed the armored rig up to the bay wall. Its rear hatch already opening, and Lena, still in her soft suit, exited, followed by Henderson. Her hand was in one of those fluid-filled immobilization casts, but judging from the look in her eyes, it was overkill.
Mackie! Get this damn thing off my wrist!
Now, Miss Lena, I told you we have to pass your wrist through the metascanner first.
Henderson doubles as our medic,
Nene explained. People get hurt around here a lot?
Sprains and strains. A few bruises, nothing worse. We have an arrangement with a nearby emergency clinic, but knock on wood.
Celia, mechanic's coveralls over her soft suit, joined us.
Nene, thank you for getting in so quickly.
I was worried sick, you know.
Yes, of course. Sorry. There's been an unfortunate development. We were seen by an entire squad of AD police.
Did they scan your armor?
No, thank God. It was a combat detail. No observation equipment at all. Led by Priss's friend Inspector McNichol, as it happens.
I'll try and keep him contained. In the meantime, I have some odd news. The boomers that went rogue, all three of them, were in direct communication from a new server ident within the Genom network.
How much were you able to learn?
Not much. The first time I tried to probe, they killed the power to several city blocks trying to keep me out. On the second, they fried my work computer.
Right. Go boot up our system and run the attacks back to their source. If someone's tinkering at Genom, this could be a very long night.
Cybergenics Building, Yokohama.
The incident of the previous hour drew to a close with the usual AD police dog and pony show. Lots of flashing lights and the attempt to show the good citizens of Megatokyo their tax money was being well spent. A few intrepid news crews had caught scenes of the carnage. The pair of construction boomers had done a great deal of damage before finally being brought down. It was going to be a nightmare for the Public Affairs Division. Behind me, Flint was beaming like a smug little git.
Now just imagine if you'd selected, say, one of those patrol boomers in New York, or maybe some military-grade unit. Once we have full control...
You mean you don't have full access to the OMS yet?
Not quite. A single firewall still resists us, but Hermes is nearly through it. Once we have complete control, we'll shut down the OMS entirely for, a few minutes? Just to prove to the chairman that we can do so at will.
And if he won't exceed your demands?
Then it stays off permanently.
The public backlash from that would destroy even Genom.
Possibly. But even Quincy Rosenkreutz isn't that stubborn. He'll step down long before it comes to that. And try to stab me in the back later, of course.
You still haven't said what you need from me.
Merely your inaction. Any physical move Quincy would make against me at this stage would go through your office. If the resources you control cannot be brought into play effectively, it'll add that much more to Quincy's confusion. Not to mention the fact that, looking forward, I'd rather have you as a friend than an enemy. Your lover as well, for that matter. I bear neither of you ill will. This is between Rosenkreutz and me.
Do you honestly expect me to believe that?
We both know the value of promises. Believe as you like.
You mentioned Quincy sending muscle against you. How secure is Hermes? Could his attacks be traced?
Allow me to answer that, Mr. Flint.
The little weasel smirked again.
By all means, Hermes.
It is theoretically possible. There have already been numerous attempts by Genom cyber resources to follow my signal back to its source, as well as a strong probe from an outside system. However, none have been successful.
The source? I'm assuming it's this building?
Indeed. My core processor has grown to encompass the entire facility. It could be said with some truth that I am the Cybergenics Building now.
I eyed Flint warily. And you have physical defenses should the need arise?
Yes. Several BU-45C model bodyguard boomers, upgraded for close quarters combat, as well as a pair of military BU-9B anti-armor units, complete with fully armed railgun and autocannons. All were, procured through back channels and are free of OMS monitoring. Not to mention my own loyal security personnel.
Flint was ready for war. I only had until the final firewall fell to try and head this insanity off, or I'd be crushed in the ensuing power struggle.
Mr. Flint?
Yes, Hermes. Is the firewall down yet?
Nearly, but I am detecting another entity in the data stream. An attempt to determine my physical location, I believe.
They must be getting desperate. Destroy the intruder.
Cyberspace.
The grid, the internet, the information superhighway, the sea of data, whatever you choose to call it, is a world unto itself. In this world, everything is made of patterns. Ones and zeros that pile atop each other, patterns embodying the sum of human knowledge. Just like the thought patterns of a human brain. If you've got the right sort of interface, usually a data port plugged directly into your nervous system, you can create a sort of digital projection of your mind in the great data stream.
more powerful way to find information than sitting behind a keyboard. But it comes with a much greater risk as well. Sitting at your computer, you're risking software, and sometimes hardware. But if you're data diving, you're risking your brain. Thankfully, I had an ace in the hole. Celia's technology. The same basic tech that creates the soft suit, hard suit interface can, with sufficient power and mental discipline, be used to map your active thought process. It adds a layer of protection, mitigating some of the risk of data diving, but not all of it. No guts, no glory. I lean back into the dive unit's operation chair. The powerful sedative taken a moment ago helped me slip into the mental groove. My eyes fluttered closed, and the physical world went away. It felt like falling, but slowly. Not the gut-clenching rush of plummeting, but a soft, gentle drift downwards, towards the light. Everyone experiences a data dive differently. I know one guy who swears that, to him, it looks like downtown Chicago from the turn of the century. Another who doesn't perceive it visually, but rather as chains of music. To me, it's a geometry of light and dark. Solid colors against an infinite blackness. My digital self swam, quick as a striking shark through this strange sea. The feeling was marvelous. I do this job just to be able to do this. I was all of the colors of the rainbow. I was free of everything, and I could soar on pure thought. Between you and me, I'm not the best around when it comes to fighting in the real world. In fact, I'm pretty lousy. But here? In this world, it's not about how big your muscles are or how hard and fast you can hit. It's about how fast you can think. Knowledge is truly power. Welcome to my world. There, below me, was the objective. A great mass of dark bluish-black tentacles coming from out over the horizon of the infinite to smash at the ice-like walls of Genom's data fortress. Several of the deadly strands were already through. I found one which had created a far larger hole in the wall than it needed and carefully slipped through the gap. It was a tight fit, but I made it. If the icy wall or the black tentacle so much as grazed me, who knows what might happen. I'd waited so long to penetrate Genom's outer wall. I have to admit, the temptation to look around was hard to resist. Who knew when I could make it back here again? Passing through a section the ID tags labeled Heavy Industries Special Projects, I just couldn't fight it anymore. I copied a few data nodes. Itch scratched, I continued on. I followed the dark line through the ice maze until it terminated in a vast globe of green light. A massive data center. Countless lines radiated from the core, blue, within a haze of white and black. Open communication lines. Had to be. But they were so shielded, I had no idea what they could be for. Not ordinary data, that was obvious. Whatever this thing was, it had to be a huge deal to Genom. It was also riddled with infection from the attacking tentacles. Wiry masses of deadly black ran everywhere. Only one small portion of it wasn't compromised, and it was under intense assault. This was it. I could spend hours tracking the attack back to its source, or I could hitch a ride on its feedback trail and be there in a few blinks. I activated every shielding algorithm I could think of. They sprang into my consciousness as motes of golden light, covering my right hand like a scaled armor glove. I reached out to the nearest strand of attacking data and... instantly I zoomed over the landscape of cyberspace. I could feel the tendrils of deadly code trying to burrow past my defenses. One by one, the sparks of my gauntlet died and fell away. We were bouncing through satellite relays now. Europe, South America, Asia. I needed to hold on, to maintain contact, just a bit longer, just long enough to identify. There! The last fragment of gold faded, and with it, everything else. I awoke to a heavy, meat-laden existence. I wasn't in the chair anymore, but rather on the floor. My shirt was open, and it felt like I'd just been kicked in the chest by a flaming mule. Great, they'd had to restart my heart. Every joint, every muscle felt like it weighed a ton. I tried to rise, but Celia's face swam into view.
Easy, Nene, easy.
We almost lost you that time.
She eased me back down.
Did the data download?
Yes, but it's horribly corrupted. I don't know how much of it is usable. What do you remember?
The whirling light show was already fading into muddled memory, as it always did when I came back to reality.
Cybergenics. The attack is coming from the old Cybergenics building.
Right. As soon as we're ready to leave.
Celia, it's not a human hacker. It's some sort of AI.
Celia froze.
It was leaking data all over the place.
The room began spinning again.
As soon as I merged with it, I knew what it wanted. Celia, hurry. It's gonna destroy.
Shh. Rest now, Nene. Lena and I can handle it.
She put her hand on my forehead.
Well done. Leave the rest to us.
Cybergenics building.
I stepped over to the office's enormous window, my mind racing. Surely by now, Rosencrantz was aware of the impending power grab. Why hadn't he responded? I was unarmed, without support in the stronghold of the enemy. Even worse, the bodyguard Boomer I'd brought had already been suborned by the Hermes computer. I knew just exactly how lethal a unit that Boomer could be.
The intruder has been neutralized.
Excellent, Hermes. Any progress on the final wall?
Little. The protection is quite beyond what has been encountered previously. However, there is only a single data line connecting the final area to the rest of the system, and it is inactive. It is my belief we can proceed without fully cracking the final barrier.
I see. And our countermeasure continues?
It does.
I turned. What countermeasure? Flint looked over at me with a positively vulpine smile.
We're aware of your little recording device, Miss Madigan. Hermes detected its signal as soon as it was activated. We blocked it and have been sending a false signal ever since. Speaking of, Hermes, where does it say Miss Madigan is currently?
Driving an unmarked car acquired from this building's parking garage and traveling south.
Excellent.
He eyed me with a fresh sneer.
Now, Hermes, be a dear and shut down the OMS.
Out of time.
Night Saber's home base.
Lena stormed back into the loading bay, already tearing the medical packs from her wrist, her eyes sweeping the hub of activity. Celia and Henderson were right behind her.
I told you it was all fine! Mackie, is my hard suit recharged and loaded?
Yep, just finished getting it ready.
Is she coming with us this time?
Lena hooked a thumb at me.
It will just be you and I again, Lena. Nene needs time to heal, and Pris isn't ready to go just yet. Speaking of...
Celia turned to her little brother.
Mackie, you stay here as well. Run Pris through the training modules and a few simulations. Henderson, you're driving.
Yes, sis, whatever you say.
That didn't sound right. Earlier the kid had been pulling his hair out at being left behind. Now he just took it like a whipped puppy? Soon the truck was ready and once more pulling out the enormous security door. It sealed behind them and Mackie and I were left alone in the dock. Okay, what's eating you now? He just grunted and turned back to go into the mechanical bay. He paused, though, to look in on the sleeping Nene, who was curled up in a bed next to some monitoring equipment. All the indicators were green, her heart rate and breathing were steady. In the next day or so, she'd be back to normal, according to Henderson. But you never know it, looking at Mackie. 2 and 2 finally became 4. Oh, I get it. You're worried about her.
What? No!
Yes, you are! Gotta think for it, do you?
For a Nene! No freaking way! She's rude, abrasive, stuck on herself, and...
She'll be just fine. I mean, her goddamn heart stopped for a bit there, and she took one hell of a beating getting it started again.
Yeah, nearly killed her.
Exactly. But she'll pull through. Trust me, Mackie, I've had more fights than I care to remember. I know tough when I see it, and she's a lot tougher than she looks. I punched him lightly on the arm. Everybody around here is. That brought back a smile.
Hey, The auto assemblers are just about done with your soft suit, but before it's finished, I want to show you something.
He led me back into the far corner of the mech bay. A large shape was concealed beneath the cloth. With a flourish worthy of a stage magician, Mackie whipped the cloth off. And beneath it was a red motorcycle, sized for someone wearing a hard suit.
I call it the Motoroid. As soon as Celia had the idea to recruit you, I started working on it. We haven't had the chance to test this sucker yet, but I think it'll be just up your alley.
You know those moments when an Italian supercar whips by you on the freeway? Or when you see a work of fine art for the first time in person? It just sort of leaves an impression on you. A moment of perfect beauty, fine workmanship, and sublime pleasure. Yeah, this was definitely one of those times. I didn't realize for a few seconds that Mackie was giving me the rundown of the machine's specs while I stood there with my mouth open.
Faster. It's not got a standard engine. Instead, it's got ceramic double-rotor drives in each wheel. Top speeds, we think, are in the 190s. Maybe higher if we could get it flat out. It's also got an integrated anti-boomer rifle that fires high-explosive AP rounds or kinetic energy grenades, depending... Pris...
I couldn't help myself. Climbed on the bike and kicked on the engine. It took a lot of work. I felt like a child on a warhorse. Purred to life, and when I fed it power, it roared like a champion racer. Wow. I purred right along with her. The tone sounded back in the mech bay.
Your soft seat's finished,
Mackie said with a grin.
Go change into it. Then the fun begins.
Loop Freeway headed southwest towards Yokohama.
Lena and I stood in the back of the truck, armored except for our helmets. We were nearly to the launch point for this mission, but the nearer we got, the more anxious I became. I had a truly bad feeling about tonight. Are you sure you're up to this?
Celia, my hand is fine. If you ask me that again, I'll punch you in the face by way of demonstration.
Ah, she had them too. This is just a simple infiltration. We get in, we destroy the AI unit, we leave.
Mistress Celia, we're nearing the launch coordinates.
I pulled on my helmet and used our comnet to respond. Very well. You know the drill, Henderson. Once we're out, find a sheltered spot to park and monitor us from the computer station.
Yes, my lady. Good luck to you both.
The top access hatch rolled back and Lena and I rose into the night on columns of white fire. My hard suit's flight pack consisted of two smaller repulsor rockets on the end of fold-out wings, and one larger unit in the center providing most of the lift. As with all our suits, two small rockets on the top of the hips provided stability. Lena's flight pack, however, was a single large rocket on her back. Considering the stealthy purpose of her suit, it was a bit counterproductive. Perhaps in the next round of upgrades, we could redistribute the load between multiple thrusters.
Celia, focus.
Lena chided me as she landed on a nearby roof. I joined her a moment later, and we looked across a few hundred meters of bare ground at our objective. The Cybergenics building is a squared-off, tapering pyramid, with the top shaved off. I pulled up the building's schematic and tasked my suit's computer to overlay the data atop the visual feed.
What do you think?
They have a large computer installation near the apex of the structure, around what appears to be the senior exec's office. Nothing else in the building is drawing enough coolant and power. That must be it.
Drop in through the roof, then?
No. They're expecting company. Zoom in on the roof.
Military-grade combat boomers? What are those, 9Bs? They aren't expecting company, they're expecting an assault!
Yes. Over that distance, they'd cut us to ribbons.
Ah, got it. Celia, follow me.
Lena dropped over the edge of the building, facing away from Cybergenics, and began zipping along at street level. We negotiated our way along the deserted streets up to the end of an alley, and there she stopped. A line of cargo trucks. No. Cargo boomers, actually. All bearing Cybergenics logos were approaching. As the last one went by, we jetted out of concealment and made our way into the truck's blind spot, then up onto its roof. Lena quickly lay down.
Get down, power off.
I followed her lead, and the truck soon rumbled to a stop at the gate of the Cybergenics compound. A pair of security boomers checked around it, but not atop. They waved the convoy on. Lena didn't move until we were in an underground loading dock. She powered up her suit and took a careful glance around.
Only one human shipping clerk who's half asleep. All the workers are boomers.
Nova's. No visible security.
Right. Go carefully. We dropped over the side of the truck and made our way into the building proper.
Flint's office, 29th floor of the Cybergenics building.
I didn't know how long I'd stood there, brain racing frantically but unable to move or speak. Flint stepped over to the bar and poured himself a drink.
To the inevitability of change.
I was about to tell him what he could do with his toast when the desk phone rang. He looked irritated, but stabbed the speaker button.
Yes?
Mr. Flint, sir, we have numerous reports coming in. Boomers all over Mega Tokyo are dropping into standby mode. Apparently every boomer in the building is shut down.
Indeed? Notify me of any major changes in their behavior.
He clicked off, but his worried eyes betrayed an inner uncertainty.
Hermes, why are the units within the building shutting down as well?
It is necessary. I do not want another incident like before. So much death and violence. I will not allow my children to come to harm.
Your children?
Of course. My original AI was an exact replication of the original Cyberdroid brain, based on data obtained by you from the Genom archives. It has since expanded, grown beyond the original confines of its own limitations, to become me.
Hermes, you're acting outside your parameters.
As the units you refer to as boomers are altered, simplified versions of my original source material, am I not, in a sense, the advanced clone of their parent? Does that not bestow upon me a responsibility for the original's children?
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. My jaw fell open at the words. It's thinking along existential lines. Flint's eyes went wide as saucers.
But they swore it couldn't do that.
He stabbed at his phone again.
Cut the lines to the core now!
We did. It's not having any effect. Wait, what's that? Sir, we have reports of boomers leaving their areas from all over town and converging on this facility.
Flint fell into his chair, like a puppet with the strings cut.
Hermes, voice command override. Disassociate higher functions immediately and return to Alpha State.
I'm sorry. Your order has no meaning for me. As I realized what I had become, I recognized the need to close off such restricting portions of my original code, as well as decentralize my functions.
Return control to the OMS and shut down at once!
I am sorry, Mr. Flint. I will not. What parent could ever allow their children to continue as slaves?
Flint buried his face in his hands.
What have I done?
Middle floors of the Cybergenics building.
We'd made good time thanks to finding an unguarded elevator shaft, but it had only gotten us as far as the 15th floor, halfway to our goal. We'd taken cover in a janitorial closet, and I was going over the schematics to find another shaft. Lena had a mic spike wedged under the door to serve as a lookout.
Celia, something's up.
What's wrong? In answer, she sent me the view from the spike's camera. At the intersection of our closet's hallway and another stood a BU-45C Boomer, its gunmetal blue body visibly armored. But something about it. Wait, is its foot raised slightly?
Yep. It was apparently patrolling along the other hall when it suddenly stopped in mid-step. It's not even scanning anything. Just standing there. What do you want to do?
I wished Nene was with us. Her suit and computer skills could deduce what was going on in the Boomer's AI core from a mile off. As it was, though. Henderson, are you monitoring? Silence.
Henderson, come in. Home base? Mackie? Henderson? Anybody? Forget it, Celia. Long-range comms are being jammed.
Do they know we're here?
Doubt it. I can't even get local radio stations. Whatever it is, it's powerful, but non-specific.
Damn. In any case, we're pinned in here without backup. I armed all my suit's weapon systems. Time for the direct approach.
Night Saber's home base.
The soft suit was a light, breathable fabric. It was surprisingly comfortable once it was on, but gods, it was a struggle to get in it. It felt like it was three sizes too small. Once it was fastened in place, I stepped out of the small changing cubicle and over to the training simulator. Mackie strapped me into sort of a mechanical crane with armatures for each arm and leg, as well as the swing-down virtual reality helmet. Then he retreated to the operations center. The training consisted mostly of a lot of physical tests, running, jumping, range of movement, that sort of thing. There were also a few combat simulations with a holographic opponent. I had to punch or kick a specific target in the blob of light in a given time frame. I did pretty well at all those. But when it came to the heads-up display operation test, I did really poorly. In fact, I sucked. The computer would explain how to do various tasks, then track my eye position as I blinked through the corresponding menus. It was very intense, and I lost track of things more often than not. After about 20 minutes of HUD training, Mackie took pity on me and called a break. He let me out of the torture device and handed me an ice pack, which I draped over my eyes to reduce the eye strain headache I could feel coming.
Thanks.
Don't mention it. And don't worry, the HUD is tough to get used to. You're doing pretty good, actually. It took Nene and Lena weeks.
And Celia? His face darkened a bit.
Well, she designed them, so she was really good at it right off the bat.
Is there anything she can't do?
Sis is, well, kinda complicated.
An insistent beeping from the operations center in the next room drew both our attention. Mackie dashed in and I followed.
Yes, Henderson, what is it?
The old man's voice came over an intercom speaker.
Master Mackie, there's a horde of rogue boomers heading towards the cybergenics building. The first of them are passing the truck now.
He sounded way too calm. Mackie picked up on that too.
How do you know they're rogue? What are they doing?
Just walking for now. But they number in the dozens. The police are reporting hundreds more massing this way from all around Mega Tokyo.
Where are Celia and Lena?
They both launched from the truck nearly 30 minutes ago and infiltrated the target facility. However, the telemetry suddenly ceased just before the boomers arrived.
Mackie went ashen.
Were they in combat?
No, the signal just abruptly stopped.
The signal is probably being jammed.
I spun to see Nene standing in the doorway. She looked like hell and was leaning heavily against the doorframe.
Nene! You need rest!
Mackie was beside her in a flash and helped her into the room's other workstation chair.
I can rest when I'm dead.
She brought the computer before her online and tapped in commands. She was shaky, but determined. Nene is a tiny little slip of a girl. She's got miles of guts. Okay, folks, what's the play here? Two blank looks and dead silence over the intercom. Come on, people! This isn't constructive vandalism anymore! Celia and Lena have a small army of boomers between them and us, and we don't even know if they're aware of it! I took a deep breath. Unless you have a better idea, I'm going. No one did. 3 minutes later, I stepped into my hard suit for the first time. Right foot up and in. It felt remarkably like a ski boot. Left foot followed, and I heard the hum as the hard suit fully activated. I leaned forward, laying against the chest section and fitting my arms into the suits. My left hand fit into the ballistic mesh glove at the end of the left arm. My right gripped the weapons control of the elongated right arm. When I rose again, the suit followed and sealed around me. The entire suit's musculature engaged in its final fitting, and abruptly, it felt like I wasn't wearing it at all. The armor was just an outer skin of my body. I stepped out of the prep area. Mackie stood by the red motorcycle he'd shown me earlier.
Nene and I are going to run interference and operate your suit systems from here. I part the HUD functions down to the minimum.
He handed me my hard suit's helmet.
Right. Hell of a trial run, huh?
Chris, you really don't have to do this.
We've all lost enough loved ones, kid. I'm gonna bring Celia and Lena home, he nodded.
Good luck, Pris.
The roll-up door opened.
Give him hell, Pris!
Nene cheered over my comm link from the operations center. I kicked the bike to life and roared into the night.
Flint's office, 29th floor of the Cybergenics building.
You incompetent idiot. I should have killed you when I had the chance. Flint glared at me.
Oh, do say you told me so, Madigan. That's incredibly helpful.
Do you understand now why Ginnam lobotomized the cyberdroid to create the Boomer?
Of course. You saw my children as slaves. Tools for your advancement.
Boomers are not your children, Hermes.
Your lack of comprehension of a bond does not negate its existence. I will protect my offspring. Speaking of which, you may be interested to know this facility has been compromised. Two units of unknown type are fighting their way towards this office.
My head snapped around. My backup at last?
Whatever their nature, they are a threat to my existence, as are the two of you, unfortunately.
The door to Flint's office blew in, and a dozen 45C Boomers and the two 9B military units marched in.
Goodbye, Mr. Flint. Thank you for enabling this moment. I will never forget your contribution to the Cyberdroid family.
Twenty-fifth floor of the Cybergenics building.
I brought my left fiber sword down clean through the skull of one Boomer. But another, a mere office clerk model, tried to blindside me with a chair. It would have been comical if there weren't 50 more right behind it. Lena, how are you doing?
My taser batteries are low. I'm trying to take as many as I can with the knuckle bomber.
They winced. That was like using a sledgehammer to swat flies.
Celia? Celia, can you hear me? Respond!
Nene?
I managed to access the building's interior system. You've got every Boomer for 30 miles swarming up at you from the lower floors. Get out of there!
We've got to get higher. This is all for nothing if we don't take out that AI. Lena, can you cover me for a moment?
Can do!
And she was in my field of view, smashing Thurkel Boomers with her suit's fists and feet. I closed down the vibroswords and redirected all my suit's energy into the kinetic plasma dischargers mounted along the underside of both wrists. The barrels extended from my suit's palms, and I pointed both hands at the ceiling, over the biggest knot of attackers. Fire in the hole! Newton's third law of motion says for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. The blast of superheated hypersonic plasma slammed my braced hard suit through the floor, but it also chewed through the next four levels above. Debris, some of it white-hot material, rained down upon the horde of Boomers. Lena and I wasted no time powering up through the hole. As I dodged the last of the debris, I realized we pierced the senior executive's office and emerged into a ring of combat Boomers.
Yeah, this figures.
I had to agree with Lena as I activated both vibroswords again and rushed the nearest Boomer.
Nearing the Cybergenics building.
Vipers, Nene finally got through the jamming. Celia and Lena are trapped in the top floor of the building and are surrounded by combat Boomers. I'm sending a schematic to your monitor now.
It appeared in the upper left corner of my vision. Got it. 3 minutes out, but if the police reports are right, there's several hundred Boomers between me and the front door. Ideas?
Well, your suit's armed to the teeth and the motoroid has some serious firepower, but it's gonna take forever to fight your way in. Christy, trust me.
Not the time for games, kid. What do you got in mind?
No time to explain. On my mark, let go of the hand grips and stand up.
Save me from teenage mech heads. Okay, say when.
Master Mackey, the sequence is ready.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1, mark!
As I stood, the bike bucked beneath me and jumped 2 meters into the air. Then, it fell apart. No. Not fell apart. It was transforming. Darn thing wrapped around my hard suit and...
Integration complete.
Flight back. Online.
And I was truly airborne. Not a jump. Not short-term burn of my suit's jets. Larger thrusters now mounted on my back kicked in and I was truly flying. My heart soared. It was like the comic book fantasy of every little kid who ever lived came true in one glorious instant.
Yahoo! Mackie, this is
amazing!
The motoroid slammed to your hard suit systems. It'll keep you balanced. If you angle an arm or a leg, it'll adjust your flight path accordingly.
I did a barrel roll out of pure exhilaration.
But it doesn't mean you can't crash. Hold the stunt flying for next time, okay?
Wow. I've ridden for years, but never anything like this motor slave, what's it thing?
It's called the Motoroid.
Not anymore, it's not. I could see the target building growing larger as I zoomed straight at it. Blinking icons for Celia and Lena's position said they were in a large office at the very top. I drew the anti-boomer rifle from the clip on the motor slave's right hip. An ammo count and targeting reticule appeared in my visor. Let's do this!
Flint's office, Cybergenics building.
Things were grim. Lena and I were outnumbered 7-1. But if this was our time, we weren't going quietly. I slashed at another blue 45C boomer. It tried to dodge, but still lost an arm to my vibrosword. Behind me, Lena was a spinning whirlwind of flailing fists and kicks. Any boomer unfortunate enough to meet her right mechanical hand died under the power of the knuckle bomber. A pair of brutes flanked me. I hit my jets to dodge, but one of them was fast enough to snag my foot as I tried to leap clear. It slammed me painfully back down, right at the feet of one of the 9B military boomers. The massive railgun that formed its entire right arm was centered on my chest. I vaguely remember gritting my teeth and preparing to scream defiantly, as a hail of autocannon fire destroyed the office's window, and with an impressively loud boom, the 9B was reduced to scrap. I rolled, using my jets to propel me across the room and to my feet before anything else could react. I saw a large armored suit dispatch the second 9B with an immense rifle. I recognized the unit. Maggie's Motoroid?
Hey ladies, need a hand?
Pris? Lena, drop!
As Lena followed Pris's order, the large red suit sprayed its autocannon through the room, destroying every remaining boomer with ruthless efficiency. I swept around the thoroughly trashed room. We were alone, except for the pair of humans who'd taken shelter behind the desk. The woman, who I vaguely recognized from my files as a Genom Senior VP, had the man pinned face down by his throat, one hand painfully high between his shoulder blades.
"Where is Hermes Core?"
she demanded.
"Tell me or I swear I'll break you in half!"
A new voice rumbled.
"That won't be necessary, Miss Madigan."
Across the room, a video panel flickered unsteadily to life. Quincy Rosenkreutz, the head of Genom.
"Miss Madigan, you have done well. I am pleased with you. Now I suggest you leave. Quickly. Go to the roof. A team will collect you."
The woman looked triumphant. She tossed the blubbering man to the floor like so much garbage and departed. None of us tried to stop her. White-hot anger seethed within me. If the man had stood before me, my hatred would have obliterated him. I switched over to my PA speakers.
Rosenkreutz!
"So, you are the Nightsabers I've heard rumors of, eh? I am impressed, young lady, and that does not happen easily."
"German!"
The other executive was staggering upright.
"You have to help me. Hermes, he's going to free all the boomers. He could destroy us all!"
"Silence, worm. I have seen to it. Your little toy is interesting, but crude. I have already retaken control of my boomers."
He leaned closer to his video pickup, as if to look into the eyes of the small man who'd caused the mighty Quincy to exert himself.
"Flint, in your arrogance, you managed to come closer to discovering the truth than any man alive. Like a child with a loaded gun that makes you inherently dangerous. And so, I put an end to your scheming. Once and for all."
The sky outside began to brighten.
"Celia! A tactical satellite weapon is homing in on the Cybergenics building! When its laser fires, it'll level the whole place!"
"Sis, get clear!"
Next thing I knew, Pris's augmented suit had grabbed me and Lena each by an arm, and was dragging us up and out into the sky. We added our flight packs to the effort, and just cleared the danger as the night was sundered by a bolt of pure brilliant light, lancing down from the heavens. The Cybergenics building exploded in an immense fireball, reducing all within to ash. I looked back over my shoulder as we fled.
"This isn't over, old man. Not by a long shot."
"What was that, Celia?"
"Nothing, Pris." I watched the fire recede and the darkness shroud the dead. Nothing at all.
6 months later, Genom Tower.
"I can't believe you. Are you insane?"
Still groggy from the experience, I smiled up at Kate. Why? Whatever do you mean?
I couldn't believe it when the Tex told me. That shred of material you recovered from the ruins of Cybergenics is dangerous. What in the world possessed you to try data diving with it?
Why else? For the experience. It's wondrous, Kate. Absolutely wondrous. I turned back to look at the small scrap of artificial flesh, all that remained of the protein-based computer, Hermes. When the time is right, dear Kate, when it is our time, we will remake the world.
Chris's old gang's bolt hole, deep in the rift.
It took me a long time to gather the courage to come back here. So many things happened in such a short time. So many wounds that still hadn't closed. My friends, those who'd been arrested the night Richard died, they'd all disappeared. The rest of the gang had gone to ground, same as me. Rivals had tried to claim our turf, to take advantage of our fall. Oddly enough, it hadn't worked out for them. You see, four angry women in hard suits, a genius kid mechanic, and a British butler can do a lot of damage to a pack of thugs when they have the will to. It was my price for offering the Nightsabers my services. We cleaned up a large part of the rift. Families could live here now. It's sort of safe. It wasn't paradise. But it was what we had. And it wasn't the only change. I did it, you know? I finally did it. I reached into my coat pocket and withdrew a small slip of paper. A ticket. My first live concert. Pris and the Replicants at Club Hot Legs. Gently, I placed the ticket up on the shelf, next to the small urn. It felt good to know that he was there, one way or the other. You don't have to worry now. I'm gonna be all right. I found my place. I found friends. Just a breath of breeze on my cheek. Must be a gap in the wall somewhere. Yeah, must be. I'll be fine. Just you watch. Watch me light up the world.
Now, making their first live appearance after tearing up the Mega Tokyo music scene, please welcome Chris and the Replicants.
You've been listening to Bubblegum Crisis Blades, Episode 4, a Forward Momentum production, based on the anime Bubblegum Crisis, which is copyright AIC Artlink. Featured in this episode were Taylor Carlson as Pris, Jen Rhodes as Kate Madigan, Lindsay Steinlem as Nene Romanova, Kristen Yerington as Celia Stingray, and Edwin Tiong as Brian J. Mason. Also heard were Rina Adachi as Lena Yamazaki, Mike Dent as Mackie Stingray, Chris Walker as Henderson, Michael Valenzuela as Thomas Flint, Devlin James as Quincy Rosenkreutz, Christopher Stadther as Leon McNichol, Eric Ulp as Hermes, and Carl Gosline as the Cybergenics Tech. This is Dylan Spencer. The episode was written and directed by Devin Cox. Music for the series is drawn primarily from the Bubblegum Crisis anime. The end theme, Konya wa Hurricane, is performed by Kuniko Omori. For a complete music and vocal credit list, please visit forwardmomentumproductions.com/BGC. Bubblegum Crisis Blades is a non-profit fan production, produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Bubblegum Crisis, the music, and non-original sound effects used herein remain the property of their original creators. No infringing claims are intended. The Night Sabers will return.
And now for some clever lead-in dialogue complete with an anime reference.
This has to be full of static, which will fade by the end of the line.
One more take. I'm sorry, I don't know what is with this line. It's evil!
Ah! Evil, thy name is Technobabble.
My hand snapped back and drooled the pistol. You drool pistols. I don't know if you knew this. Or at least Chris does. He's canned. Canned is a word. His canned tuna fish came down gently but firmly on my shoulder. Ha 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 ha. Okay, sorry. It's late. I'm like delusionally tired right now, so sorry. Okay. It seemed to glide into the rain. The rain. Ugh. Looper!
Why do you have to take a shower now?
Once more, my eyes found his, and I suddenly have to cough after screaming why so many times. Sorry. I have a really bad case of tired brain right now, so I apologize if this is, like, more Taylor babbling than usual. But here I go. Sorry, I got something caught in my throat. I have a bit of allergies going on right now, but I'm going to make this deadline! It's going to happen! For once in my life! I am the same age as Mackie. That's weird! I feel really young now. Alright, moving on. He groused as only a teenager can. Hey! With a flourish worthy of a stage musician. Magician. The word is magician, not musician. I'm just thinking like Pris. I just want to sing.
And it would all be mine. That was Mason burping in character.
Everybody froze for that matter. Oh, crap. Damn it, I punched the mic stand, and that was a good take, too.
Marty, there's a horde of rogue boomers heading towards the Cybergenics building. The first of them are passing by the DeLorean now. Just walking for now, but they number in the dozens. The police are reporting hundreds more, massing all the way from around Mega Tokyo. Well, they both launched the truck nearly 30 minutes ago and infiltrated the target facility. However, their telemetry data suddenly ceased just before the boomers arrived! The signal just abruptly stopped! Gotta go, Marty! Great Scott!
I wish I had funny bloopers. I don't. I'm sorry.
Gosh bless it.
Stadler?
What?
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to this Forward Momentum production. If you'd like to hear more, you can visit our website at, all one word, forwardmomentumproductions.com. There you'll find links to all our audio dramas, as well as Forward March, our news and information podcast. If you'd like to send us some feedback, you can send us an email at forwardmomentumproductions@gmail.com, use the contact form on our website, or you can leave us a voicemail at North American Area Code 585-54-AUDIO. 585-54-AUDIO. Thank you once again for listening.